Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 417. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
That's right, always, because Chris and I were the only ones here last time.
We were. It was just us. Jeff was off gallivanting, and actually, I don't think he was. I think he was maybe on his way home from Vegas last
time. I think I just got back. And I realized when I got back, I was like, oh, I could totally do the podcast, but I was like, nah.
And
so I just got back.
And Peter's here as well.
Hello.
Okay. So we have some news. We're gonna go. We'll go over that after, though. Let's talk about some games, because the biggest game of the last little while just came out.
NBA 2K19.
Yes, Tony. Why don't you tell us about that one?
No, that's okay.
That is the big game that came out last week.
Obviously. So.
I mean, it's the LeBron James personal simulator, right?
Like, that's right.
Is there any big changes to it? Have you played much of it yet?
I've actually played a lot of it. I played all the way through the prelude. I think the big thing is the way that my career mode is structured this year. Last year, it kind of dumped you right into the season, and like there were all these cutscenes and stuff and storyline that went as the season went along. This year, it's all like your story about how you made it to the NBA. Like your player comes out of college and declares for the draft too early, and goes undrafted on draft night. And he's like sitting there while all these guys around him are being drafted, and he's like, "Help!" And he goes undrafted. He ends up playing in China, and then when he's in China, like his coach gets a phone call, but his coach doesn't really speak English. And the coach is told that that your player has got an offer to come play for the Lakers. So your player gets on a plane, flies all the way to Los Angeles, gets off the plane. There's a car waiting for him. He gets in the car. It takes him to the arena where the Lakers play. And they're like, oh, no, we meant our G League affiliate Lakers, not the actual Lakers. And your player's all like embarrassed. And then he gets traded for a bunch of sandwiches to another team.
Starting out good in this game.
Yeah, no, it's the story is hilarious. Like the stupid stuff that happens to your player, it gets really campy and really like your player should be in jail for some of the dumb stuff that happens instead of like playing basketball. There's a part at which he burns down a hotel.
Jesus.
He's like playing with fireworks, like shoot it off in the distance, like, yeah, look at that, and then the firework turns and blows up the hotel. You're like, oops. But there's like 7 or 8 games that you play through while you're doing that, that then takes you into the actual like NBA once you like complete all of that stuff. The games are really fun. They're all like I don't want to say boss battles in terms of like NBA games, but like each game has like a theme, like opposing player, and you have to somehow like master that player in order to like get the maximum like experience for playing that game, which is kind of cool. So like there'll be one game where you're playing this guy who's the dragon, the flying dragon, and you have to like hold him to a certain number of points, or another game where there's a really good defensive player. And so to like get recognition, you need to like spread the ball around so that his effects are nullified and that kind of thing. So it kind of gives each game its own flavor, which is kind of cool.
That's nice, as it gives like a little bit more to do than just play the game.
Right. So. Some things to pay attention, like it'll give you like a quest where you're like, oh, this player on your team, you should give him the ball, like, and you need to get 3 assists to that player because he's got the matchup. And so you're like, okay, I'm gonna play that game in order to give him assists and that kind of thing. It's kind of cool.
I do like how like modern sports games, you know, moving away from arcade play, which is a shame in some ways, but they've now basically made them like sports RPGs.
Yeah.
In a way, so that's kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah, I think that. It's a good choice that games have made. Like Madden has really gotten into that kind of thing. But it's nice to see that NBA 2K has kind of taken that as a as something it should do as well. I think it's beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, as like my primary sports game is the NHL games. I wish that they would add in some sort of story mode to that as well, because I think it's the only major sport that doesn't have a story mode now.
It doesn't have one yet. Although I will say the one in MLB The Show is really, really contrived. It's not really there.
Okay.
So it's not just NHL.
Well, good. I'm glad NBA 2K19 is working out. It is. Do have a question about like the progression, only because both it and FIFA have been in the news for, I guess, microtransactions.
Right.
How is NBA 2K19 handling that?
So the structure of the game is really similar to last year. So you get the virtual currency for playing in games and doing things in games. And they actually give a lot of different ways to earn it, so you don't have to buy it. They also kind of lock the progression, which I've always like appreciated. So you can't like buy up to max level.
Okay.
So you could buy up to like right now. I think my player would be, if I like used all my VC, I think he'd be a level 80. But I couldn't get higher than level 80. I have to play enough to earn the right to become level 80,
mm-hmm.
or level 81, I guess. So, you can't like buy your way all the way up the ladder. Now you can buy your way partially up the ladder, and of course, the more VC you have, then the better your player will be to get those things that will earn your way up the ladder. So there are some advantages there.
But you still have to play the game.
You still have to play the game to get up there. You can't like automatically buy your way to the top.
Okay. I guess we should talk about the other game that came out last week, though. Spider-Man, or Marvel's Spider-Man.
Marvel's Spider-Man.
On the PlayStation 4 from Insomniac Games.
Yeah.
I think we've all played it at this point.
Yeah, well, how far is everybody before we...
45%.
I don't know what that means, though. That counts like everything.
Everything that you do. Like, yeah. If you did all the side questy stuff, it all counts.
Right. I mean, you can finish the story and do, like, no side stuff and still be roughly around that point, probably. So.
I can give you, and I know that for a fact that, like, my percentage, I think I'm, like, at 38 or 39, but that is really high because I've been doing all the side quest shit as an unlocks.
Yeah, me too.
The last mission I think I ran was either the Shocker in the Bank or the Mary Jane quest. I don't know which one of those came first. The one in the art gallery where they were selling Fisk stuff.
Shocker was second. So
Shocker was after that.
Yeah, I think you and I are at the same spot.
Okay,
I'm past Shocker.
So you did the Shocker in the Bank. There's two Shocker instances. There's the one where you chase them through the city.
Maybe you're farther than me, though. I didn't realize there were two.
Yeah, so there's one where you chase him, and then there is another event shortly after that. Not that far behind me then. So you chase them through the city.
Yeah, chase them through the city. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's an actual like fight and not just a quick time kind of event, where you're swinging and then pressing triangle to jump on them. Jeff, did you do the second Shocker fight? Or
I mean, I've done a couple things. I feel like where I've done chases like that as a boss fight. Like I feel like I've done two boss fights that are like that. So I can't. I want to say yeah.
Okay. So, have you all unlocked the? I mean, I think you're farther ahead than all of us.
Well, I finished the game, so
yeah. Yeah, so you're way farther ahead than
all of us. Yeah, that's why I asked, so that way.
Tony, Jeff, did you unlock the research stations?
That is my next thing to do.
Okay, see, Jeff, you're around where I am then.
Yeah, that's like a side quest thing. I think I got that early on, I feel like. No?
I mean, you have to play through some story stuff before it unlocks.
Each of the side things are introduced through the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like initially. I got all of them. You know, I feel like I'm close to the end of the game, if I'm being honest. I don't know. Like, I'm like semi paying attention to the story. So I'm like, I don't remember, what happened next? I don't know. But I feel like I'm far in the game.
But you're doing the side quest stuff.
I am doing side quest stuff, but I also know, like, the game is not that long. You know what I mean? So, like how much more could there really be? Most of when I say side quests, I'm doing, like, I am chasing backpacks and landmarks. That's, like, all I do.
Sometimes I'm done. I have all the landmarks. I have all the backpacks. I have all the towers. I have all the Fisk.
Yeah, you're probably way behind me.
I did all of that. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, story wise, I might be behind you on that then.
Yeah, because like I've done, I feel like going after all the backpacks is like not everyone will do that. You know, like that's totally a side thing. If although it's like I do like how this game like ties that shit into building your character. So it's like. There's total incentive to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you get a backpack and there's a reward. It's like
you learn something about the token.
Well, you also learn something about Peter Parker. I like that like.
World yeah.
Like the lore that comes from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I very much like what you're saying, Jeff. I like that all of them have a reason to do them. It's not just, hey, this is like, you know, pigeons in Grand Theft Auto 3 or whatever, 4. I think it was 4.
Though there are pigeons that you'll wind up chasing at some point.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's true. I hate those fuckers.
But not yeah, not cool. Like, it, I think in GTA 4 it was like, go find like 127 pigeons around the city.
Yeah.
And I think all of these are also, they're, each of the like open world quest type things, the collectibles, there's not so many of them that it's daunting to do. Like there's what, like 50 backpacks?
Yeah, 55.
Yeah, so that's like, that's not, and I mean, you can do it in like an hour or so, like just swinging around the city, like as you, if you've unlocked all the towers and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They pop up on the map like Assassin's Creed, so. Yeah. So what do you guys think?
I love it.
Pete?
Yeah, no, I really like it. I think it's probably the best game I've played this year so far.
Really? I don't know if I'm going to say that. I think it's like, my thought on it is it really feels like they are like, let's do Spider-Man 2, but like today, like that type of game. Like, it feels like a throwback in some ways, but also, like, you know, looks pretty awesome and, you know, feels like a modern game. But it's, like, still that kind of design. And I do love, like, yeah, hey, there's 55 backpacks. Go get those. Like, I don't know. It just feels like a bit of a throwback in a way. Like, not taking itself so seriously. Just being like, hey, go have fun in, you know, standard open world. Like, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. Just I got from that aspect of it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my favorite game of the year or the best game I played this year, but it's certainly up there, and it's the best AAA game I've played this year. So,
ooh,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that is easily done. I don't think there's been a lot of great AAA games this year.
I mean, look, if someone said to me that God of War is better than this, I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right, I guess. But like, this is just more fun to me because it's just more gamey, you know?
Yeah, I think
dick around, you know?
No, it's totally like the world in God of War. I wasn't interested in like just doing stuff there. Whereas here, I'm like, oh, I'm swinging around. It's great. Yeah, it's fun. I don't mind. Yeah. Like, if you told me in God of War, you can go all out and find all these backpacks, I'd be like, screw that. I'm not doing that. In Spider-Man, it's like, oh, sure, I'll do it because swinging is fun. Like, just moving around is fun.
Yeah, traversal in God of War wasn't particularly fun. Like, I mean, it was. I mean, it was God of War, right? Like, I mean, you're just kind of controlling this lumbering dude that.
But wasn't it like, you know, it's kind of fading in my memory a little bit. It's like a serious story game where a lot of it is like you're just walking and then you're like talking to someone as you go, as you're funneled toward the next point. Yeah,
and I think because a lot of the story, but a decent chunk of the story takes place over the phone. Like, you're allowed to keep moving and doing everything as Spider-Man, like, while these phone calls are going.
Yeah, so. And like... The traversal itself is like the gameplay in a way in this. So it's like that's like the fun thing to do, right. Like on a surface level. Like,
through caves for 3 minutes while Kratos and Atreus have a conversation in the next level. Yeah, loads.
It's like swing around. Yeah, they'll talk a little bit, and then like the marker's gonna pop up, and you're gonna go beat some.
I also just some bad guys. Tells a, like, I mean, there are different genres of story, but like it tells a more complete story in my mind. Like
Spider-Man does.
I realize that I'm the only one here who's finished it, so I won't go into like, detail, but
I think
I like what I played of the story so far.
Go ahead, Tony.
So how do you guys feel about the combat? Because if we get into the story,
later, that's what I want to talk about. Because honestly, like I've seen some of you guys like shitting on the combat, and I'm like, I don't understand that because I think the combat is amazing in this game, dude. Like,
no, I don't know. It's a highlight. Have people been?
I don't love Sean the combat.
They didn't like it.
Well, and also you got to remember when we were both talking about that. I was very specifically very early on. I had no upgrades. I had no like, and the game is very daunting from the get go with the amount of shit it throws at you to do. And then as you play, start to, you know, unlock things that make combat a little bit better. I do still think that it, especially, so I was doing the Fisk Tower, like the construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wave based thing. Like it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're trying to be stealthy about it or not. It ends up being a wave based combat system.
But I've noticed that if you are stealthy and you take out the whole first wave, the subsequent waves have way less dudes in them than if you were.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like why you should be stealthy. The game doesn't communicate this to you, but
or at the very least, you're not you're not using things too. I'm like, if I take everyone out silently, I still have all my shit, like all my meters built
and,
up.
Yes.
And I mean, I am playing it in a admittedly broken fashion, right? Like as the open world shit opens up, I am going and playing that stuff. And by the time the Fisk construction sites open up, you still don't have a whole lot in how to play the game yet. Because you don't really learn about how to be stealthy until you do the Mary Jane sequence. Like, the game doesn't really introduce you to how to be stealthy. So I had no idea about any of this stuff. I have none of, like, the ways to take out people stealthily.
Yeah, you don't have, like, a whole lot of the, gadgets and stuff.
Like, I think at that point, the only gadget I had was the one, like, you can shoot somebody and, like, splatter them against the wall.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only thing I had at that point, which was cool. But, like, it's not very stealthy. And like at that point, I didn't realize that you could use the web shooters to distract guards over to a spot, and I ended up having to fight like, you know, six waves of these motherfuckers, like with limited gadgets as well and limited moves.
Yeah, frustrating.
It's frustrating. It's not a ton of fun. As you get more powers, the combat does get better, but I think when they throw like 8-9 guys at you, you know, and some of them are off screen and taking shots at you with possibly like seeking rockets, It is not a blast. But there are times when it's really cool.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people say it's like, oh, like they copied Batman. It's like kind of like the dodging thing. Like when you see something pop over your finisher, head.
Like when you knock a dude out, it makes the exact same audio sound.
Like, obviously it's taking cues from it, but it's still a super deep. Like Batman's like super simple. Like it's just like you're punching or like.
I mean,
at least that's how I remember it. Like
I think both of them have their strengths and weaknesses. So, like, I would say that with Spider-Man, I have, like, in Batman, there was zero reason to pretty much use any of his gadgets in combat, except for maybe a Batarang here or there. In Spider-Man, like, I am switching between
his gadgets,
like, left and right. And
I think it's
like,
awesome.
There are so many guys, like, they're necessary from a crowd control perspective.
Yeah.
Like, you need those electric webs, you need those web bombs and stuff to, like, just put dudes down for a minute while you focus on who's there and stuff.
Colin,
I think,
Spider,
is like
bro.
Better about like having different types of guys. Like you'll eventually encounter like dudes with shields or dudes with whips and stuff. And in reality, all of them just need you to launch them in the air and like, you know, perform an air combo, and then like they're done. You know, like once you get somebody in the air, it's not really that hard to, take them down.
I'm not a fan of the brutes or whatever they
are. Yeah, there aren't that many of them in the game, so.
There's a couple situations where, like, when I was clearing out, like, the thug crimes, which everything is on a fucking rooftop, which makes little sense, but.
Where you grab somebody and throw them to their death and laugh at them.
Yeah. Evidently, that doesn't happen.
No, it.
So.
It happens.
No,
I've seen kick people off.
No, yes, I know that they're like supposedly get webbed to the roof and stuff.
Yeah,
but I have had Spider-Man use people as human shields against dudes with guns. So.
Yeah, that's and I've seen like people like yes, exactly. But like when you're kicking the guys off the roof, evidently like I don't know how you're doing it, but you're attaching something and they're getting webbed to buildings. Like,
but you can find them later on if you look around for them.
Yeah.
If you jump off the building, like you'll see that they are like attached to the building, and it's they did think of that. But yes, there are ways to, I guess, kill people. It's funny. It's so for the most part, you guys like the combat and
I think it's a game that like doesn't show like. Like the opening mission of combat, like on the Fist Tower and stuff, is like a bad way for them to have demoed that combat. Like, it's the basic punching and like web stuff is the least interesting part about it. And they like kind of dumped everything in that direction, I guess,
right.
At the beginning of the game. Like, it does, like combat does not get interesting until a few hours into the game. And I think maybe they could have. I don't know, maybe done something about that. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the progression is what makes it interesting. I'm not sure. But I don't blame anybody for playing the first 3 hours of the game being like, God, I hope that I can be stealthy because combat fucking sucks. Like,
oh, man. So in the Fisk part, I was at the end of it, and I pressed the start button, and I'm like, I'm going to turn down the difficulty. And then I waited a minute, and I'm like, okay, no, I'm not. And I moved on, and like I feel like after that, I started to figure out what was going on.
I think I had that same kind of thought. It was actually in the battle against Fisk.
Yeah.
I was just struggling to take him down. But so I was like, fuck it. I just want to play the game. Like, I just want to have fun with it. But I did leave it there, and I was able to beat him. So,
yeah, it's because he does the whole brute thing. It's not very clear on and I think the game does a bad job of explaining the combat to you in the beginning. It's not even very clear on how to take down the brutes. It's just like web them up and then hit them, and it's like, okay, do I throw stuff at him? Do I hit him with square? Do I only ever hit him with
the right? Yeah.
I don't blame anybody for being like, man, this is dumb. But I do believe that it improves vastly over the course of the game.
I just think at some point you have so many options at your disposal that, like, and they're all, like, super effective. That's just, like, super fun. Like, I don't know. Like, I got, like, stuck at bosses here and there, and, like, certain parts are kind of hard, but, like, you know what I mean? I'm not, like, good at games, and I'm not, like, sitting here going, like, I don't know. I can't remember any part where I was like, this is too hard. I was just, I don't know. I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, like, I've died maybe a total of 5 times over the course of the entire game. Like,
I mean, I'm sure I've died plenty, but...
And I'm on, well, I'm just saying, like, I'm on basic difficulty and stuff, and, like, eventually the game is not, like, that difficult. Like, I think the game does not explain the final fight very well. I died, I think, most in that area, because I was just like, I'm not sure what it's asking me to do. But once you figure it out, it's...
That is an issue that I've come up with a couple times as I've been playing, where it's like, it just doesn't kind of show. It's not that it needs to show you, but it doesn't really kind of give you an indication of what you should be doing. And sometimes the prompts that should be there to show you don't show up unless you're like kind of positioned just right.
Yeah, the web prompting is a pain in the ass. I'm not gonna like lie there or anything. Like, it's just like sometimes you're trying to do. Especially if you have any of you guys unlocked the challenge boxes yet?
I have not.
Okay. I
don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, if you haven't gone to the mission to investigate the box on the rooftop, then yeah, you haven't.
Yeah, I don't think so. But,
okay, so those are like the skill challenges where it's like web. Speed challenge and a combat challenge and a stealth challenge and also, and for the web challenge, it's based on like speed and, you know, making sure that you're able to follow the correct path in order to gain the most momentum. And sometimes, man, it's like, okay, I know I need to go there. I'm focusing Spider-Man's attention on this one area, but because there's no crosshair, the game is just like, well, what about this other rooftop that's completely like just not where you wanted it to be, and sometimes he gets stuck. It can be a pain. I also think that happens.
Throws you off, throws you on the wrong trajectory, and you end up running along a wall, or
yeah,
can totally see that.
I'm just like, come on, guys. Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of bugs. I had to restart a mission one time because Spider-Man could move, but he had no web prompt, so I couldn't, like, continue with the mission because it required me to web through an area, and I was just, like, grounded.
I saw a clip of our friend Aaron on Twitter. He posted, he fell through the map.
Oh, no.
And he could still swing, but, like, if you would swing up to bring you back into the city, you would just bounce off like an invisible wall. So he was in hell. Like, and eventually he was able to die, but it was pretty funny.
I mean, thankfully they're pretty good with the checkpoints. So like, I've never had it like a big issue. The scariest thing is sometimes in these base takedowns, I run into where dudes get clipped through like construction containers or they have fallen in the roof of a building or something, and like I have to clip Spider-Man in such a way where his leg and fist will go through the object and actually like make contact with the guy. Like, but I mean, overall though, I mean, for an open world game, it's fairly well polished, I'd say.
Yeah,
I mean, it's tough to talk because you guys are still maybe only a fifth of the way through the game.
I hope I'm not a fifth of the way. I hope I'm close to the end.
Tony and I specifically, I think.
Like, I mean, so Jeff, like, the trophy, do you have trophy notifications?
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, I mean, I ask that because the game signals the end of each act with a trophy that literally says Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3, so.
Really?
Oh no, Jeff! Noticed. Oh no!
Jeff, have you gone to the rally for the mayor yet?
I think so.
Chuck doesn't even
honestly like
story anymore. He played.
I don't pay attention to the story that much. I don't know why,
that blows my mind. Like, are you just, I think the story was the most interesting thing about.
That's when I like. I'm checking Twitter and I'm kind of like, I'll look at it here and there and be like, okay, whatever's going on. Now.
Which this explains why you don't like the Peter Parker stuff.
Because you have no idea what's happening, so it's meaningless.
Well, no, you know what? I don't like.
Who is this boy? I don't understand.
Why do I have to play
it? Why is he always fixing his hair when he walks into the scene? I don't get it.
I don't like it because, like, the game just has, like, a certain rhythm and a feel to it for, like, 90% of it. And then it's just like, hey, why don't you walk around really, really slow right now? That's just like.
You know, if you hold R2, dude, then you can just run around, right?
You can run.
Yeah. Okay. Still. All
right.
It's like there not, you know, it's like, it's not like.
I don't know.
It's not what you want to be doing. Like, the most. I guess the thing that's okay about it is there are like kind of really short breaks. Like, they're only like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, they're not even like an hour. Like, the longest one that involves you actually doing Spider-Man shit as Peter Parker is like 15 minutes.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess I could. Quit my bitching about it because like
I really enjoyed like
this is where it breaks it up what it is
like where you play as Mary Jane like I really like that one.
Okay, so I think I've done that. I don't know where I'm at. I'll figure it out.
Like because that one had like a like I mean it wasn't a very difficult puzzle, but there was like a puzzle at the end of it and that they had to figure out, and then that triggers kind of a cutscene that brings Peter into it, and then you take over as Spider-Man again. But
right, which is in the auction house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I like them. They're like nice little changes of pace from just like
they get a little tedious. I felt like, but there are some interesting ones. Like in the scenarios they set up. And
I do like the performances like of them though. Like I like Peter Parker and Mary Jane. Like
yeah. The actors. I like them both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's really not a whole lot more to say without
approaching spoilers
or anything, but.
I think it's really fun. Like, I just to me though, like, it does feel like just it's like not like for me personally, it's not a game of the year candidate because it's just like it is like just like it feels like a game we played a lot of times before. Anyways,
well, like, sure, but I mean, I feel like that can be said most of the games that we've talked about this year.
Maybe, yeah, okay, but like for me, for like game of the year, I tend to lean towards something that like. Is at least.
I mean, I'm sorry, Nintendo hasn't put out anything this year. So,
I think you and me might have more in agreement this year than last year. Just I mean, like I feel like
I like Dead Cells, but after I played Spider-Man, I'm like, I think I'm gonna vote for Spider-Man.
I mean, not to get into it too much, but I think like Dead Cells feels new at least, and Spider-Man like
Spider-Man
is just doing Spider-Man again,
right? And Dead Cells is just a roguelike, and that's not like to discount it, but like compared to. Like I play a bunch of those games already, so like it isn't like super new to me.
Yeah, maybe that's
in the way that it is maybe to you.
Yeah, maybe like you've played more games that are like Dead Cells, but to me, like Dead Cells felt like it was merging, like something I've loved to something I have not really played that much. You know, like it felt like it was changing a genre I knew into something else. That
and I think there's something to be said that it's coming from a developer like Insomniac, right? Who's known mostly for their like super cartoony. You know, action platformers.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, like.
This is a little bit of a bump up, like a little bit of a step up in a way, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, yes, they did Sunset and stuff, but I mean, like, even Sunset.
This is a big license, you know.
It just looked like.
But yeah, this is just a way bigger, a bigger game, and I'm sure that they had a way bigger budget, too, than any of their Ratchet games, or just because, you know, it's fucking Spider-Man.
Right.
And I think they've done a fucking good job, and it also like aspects of it very much feel like an Insomniac game. The wheel that has all your gadgets on it,
right.
Very much a Ratchet and Clank thing, and I think it has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, totally. Like I think the writing is super well done. Like. I am pleasantly surprised by that.
It captures kind of like, at least for me, like what I feel Spider-Man is. So,
Yeah, and it's funny because on Twitter this has sparked massive like talk about the movies and stuff like that, and it's like, and I think like it's fun to see, I don't know, just more Spider-Man stuff out there, I guess, in general.
Yeah. Especially since most of the movies aren't great. So
no, I think that's actually what the discussions have mostly like revealed, is that the Raimi movies are bad and the like Amazing Spider movies are so intensely average that it's hard to have an opinion on them.
Amazing Spider-Man Part 2 is the worst Spider-Man movie. I'm sorry.
Three is so much worse.
That is the one Spider-Man three
is
movie not,
have
not
Do you
not
think 3
seen.
Is worse than that?
3 is worse than You're Amazing crazy. Spider-Man 2.
Maybe he does have a dance number, so...
Yep.
Yeah, that's better. I'll take that over what the other like fuck sit down Amazing and Spider-Man 2 was.
To Amazing Spider-Man 2, just so I can say. Because I thought the first Amazing Spider-Man was so boring that, like, it wasn't amazing. Bad. It was just like, oh my god, the origin story again.
I mean, look, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is not a particularly good movie.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is Batman and Robin.
Which That's is what a it fun is. Fucking movie to watch. It's terrible, but it's fun. Spider-Man 3 is just, it's not fun.
No, it's not. It has three villains in it somehow. And none of them are good.
Like, I would rather watch Batman and Robin than Spider-Man 3.
I'll take Batman Forever or Batman and Robin.
Oh, sure. Batman Forever is certainly a better movie than Batman and Robin, but...
Well, now we're talking about Batman at this point, right?
I'm saying, though, that's the Batman Forever is the fucking... what you recall?
Batman Forever is not Spider-Man 3. No.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
Uh-uh.
Tell me where I'm wrong on this.
It's Spider-Man 3 is bad. Batman Forever isn't bad.
I think it really depends.
I've seen Spider-Man 3 once. I thought it was bad. Like, I didn't think it was good, but I was like, I don't know.
I think you need to watch it again.
Yeah, I think
y'all need to. All right, Peter, watch fucking Amazing Spider-Man 2 and come back and tell me that's not Batman and Robin. Like, that's what it is.
But that's the thing. Batman and Robin is fun. It's stupid. It's not good, but it's fun.
I did not think that was fun. I think it was bloated, too. I think it was over 2 hours.
Batman and Robin?
No.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is 2 hours and 21
minutes. It's a shit show.
And it's a shit show. Like,
oh my god, it's so insane though. Jamie Foxx is fucking Electro, and it's
he's terrible in it. Originally, he's like, nuts. Sounded kind of okay, but then like now Harry is a bad guy and he's the Green Goblin, and like, oh my god.
It still brought a slight bit of emotion to me when Gwen died.
But that I felt like they had to, like, because they toyed with it in
the first Amazing Spider-Man.
In the very first
Spider-Man. Yeah,
but it was with Mary Jane.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, out of those five, I mean, the original Raimi Spider-Man is probably the only one actually worth watching, but.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I remember how, like, and then you remember why masks in superhero movies are a terrible idea, because there are just
Green Goblin thing is so hysterical.
He's just he's a Power Ranger villain, is what he is.
I love that movie. It's so bad.
And they're just like yelling at each other in masks. There's no emotion whatsoever being transpiring.
And that's what Willem Dafoe is great.
I'll give him credit. He's having like the time of his life in this role because he just gives no shit.
So absurd.
Figured it out finally. It took him like 18 years, but they did it.
Not to throw this too far over the edge with movies, but I was following along with your little debate conversation today about Spider-Man 2. And I mean, I still think Spider-Man 3 is worse, but I agree with some of the arguments made against Spider-Man 2.
Oh, no, me too. Like, and eventually I think we all came to the agreement, which was, well, if your argument is that the Raimi movies are bad, then
that's
we can
fine.
All agree.
Like, yeah, that's okay.
You know what I like about the Raimi movies? And I you guys feel free to disagree with me. I like that he shoots the fucking webs out of his arms, dude. Like,
okay, yes,
I think that makes more sense.
It's stupid
that you get bit by a spider and then you make science shit to be like a spider. That's dumb. Like,
it doesn't make sense. I never really understood how he managed to get every other power except creating webs.
I have never had a problem with that.
I wouldn't say I had a problem either, but I was the one change that they made his abilities, and I was like, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, it made sense. I don't understand the people that were like, oh my god, what is going on? Like,
how dare they?
Yeah.
But there's people that are like the opposite of me, I personally prefer it that way. Like, it just makes sense that he picks up powers from it.
I mean, honestly, I don't care. I just want to see Spider-Man swing. I don't care if the webs come out of his ass or
I mean, if they did now, that would be that'd be a movie.
That would be something.
What suit are you guys all rocking right now? Which ones have you unlocked?
Stark.
Yeah, okay, so did you pre-order?
No.
No? Okay.
I pre-ordered digitally, yeah.
Yeah, no, I did too, because it comes with the Stark suit and the Velocity suit unlocked already. So
okay.
I was doing Stark suit for the longest time. So.
Me too, because the fucking, like, I like the power with it, and also I think it looks cool. Yeah, like.
I think I unlocked that, like, the white spider or whatever, and a bunch of other ones at this point, but I am.
Oh, well, the white spider one you get with the story and stuff.
Yeah.
There are two suits that you unlock in the course of the plot. And that's one of them.
There were a bunch that, like, I couldn't unlock until, like, you know, I got landmark tokens or there's a bunch that are like research tokens. So, like, now I can start unlocking more of them. But I've been mostly going around with the classic Amazing Spider-Man suit. The white spider suit was okay, but.
Yeah, I didn't really care for it all that much. Yeah. I'm rocking the other plot specific one because I think it looks cool, but I won't talk about it.
I do like the power that came with the white spider suit, which I think is like where you jump up and spin around and it shoots its webs and they splatter against the wall. So like if you're in an alleyway, it's really fucking useful.
Like what
less
do you mean,
useful
like,
if you're in an open area.
Like it sets them as traps, or as like
no, like so like you spin around and it
just
will...
like fucking webs like everybody in the
oh yeah. Nice.
And like if they're close to a wall, it will stick them to the wall, so they're instantly taken out of a fight. What are you wearing, Tony?
I think I'm wearing the Scarlet Spider.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a stealth suit as well that you can get. I was rocking that for a little while.
I like the decoys when you get like a whole bunch of people around you.
Oh yeah.
I like the suit specific skill. I also like that you just have to unlock the suit and then you can use this power.
Because you could just swap out because like it just makes the suits cosmetic then. Because it's like, all right, I like to wear this.
Some of those suits are hideous, but they have really good powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I personally like the Stark suit, and I like the ability I got with it, so I've stuck with it forever. Like the Spider Bro ability, yeah, it's fucking awesome. You call it a thing, it just shocks the fuck out of everybody.
The Stark suit. I thought you were talking the Iron Spider suit. My bad.
No, yeah, Stark.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. I was doing Iron Spider for a long time because I got those arms, which I was very
like.
Excited
the Stark suit looks like just basically kind of regular Spider-Man.
Well, the Stark suit is basically the name of the suit that he got in Homecoming.
So, but I think like the one you get for all the backpacks is like his more basic ass one.
Is the Homecoming suit that he built himself? Yeah.
Is the Iron Spider suit? Is that the one that he has in Infinity War?
Yes.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, and that's the one that like he had in the Civil War comic run and stuff. But
that was a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I normally don't go for tracking down all the shit in the open world, but this stuff has been fun to do.
I think, because like moving around in the world is
fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's just you're just like, oh, what's that way? Bing! You start swinging that way. Like, next, you know, you're doing this. Like,
I think that's exactly where my fall off with like other open world games is like, oh, well, you want me to go collect like 100 bags of cocaine throughout the city, like, but I have to drive there, and like the driving's not a ton of fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say driving GTA not the best thing, you know.
Or like, you know, in Assassin's Creed, like, go collect all the fucking feathers. Well, it takes forever to move around the city. Like, you know, like getting stuck on walls and shit. And
I don't know, like, when you're on, like, just so you see an icon of distance, you'll be swinging over there, crime breaks out, you go fight the crime. Like it's just like,
yeah, it's fun to roleplay nice Spider-Man nuggets. A little bit too, where you're just like on your way to something, and then like the little crime thing pops up, and you're like,
well, and some of the crime things are pretty good. Like some of the, like, those are like not generic. Like they're like, they have like a cool ending where you're like ripping a door off a car, you save somebody and pull them out of it. Like, it's pretty cool, you know.
I like the kidnapping ones.
Yeah, those are pretty fun.
Where you have to like use like the but it's like the sonar or whatever to find the guy in the trunk, and the accident ones are pretty cool too.
I also just love swinging after a car, like, and then like you get close enough and you hit triangle and fucking come down and start beating the fuck out of people and pulling them out of the cars and shit. Like, oh man, so fucking awesome. Anyways,
yeah. I think I'm going to finish this before jumping into Tomb Raider. But
yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I don't think I'll be done by the time I get Tomb Raider, but I think Tomb Raider is going to wait.
I think it has to, because if I start Tomb Raider, I can't do both. I'll come back to Spider-Man. I want to finish Spider-Man. I'm having fun with it. I think it deserves to be
decent. This is why I did not buy Tomb Raider. I'll get it on Black Friday.
Yeah,
I'm not going to buy it right now because, you know, the temptation, I'm going to shortchange at least one of these games.
Well, like, dude, I'm
right. Totally, I don't want to shortchange this.
I'm psyched for Tomb Raider, though. That's why, like, I'm still getting it. I am too. With Amazon and everything. And, like,
I'm curious to hear what you guys think of it, because reviews have been, like, middling. Enthusiastic.
What sounds so cool to me is that you can adjust, like, it's not just like normal, hard, or easy. It's like easy puzzles and just puzzles, exploration, and
combat. Too,
combat.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are like what I would refer to as the Silent Hill level amount of options in terms of difficulty.
I think that's really neat. And like, that's a game where like I could see myself going, like, I want to turn the exploration onto hard and then like combat easy. Or combat normal, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, and from what I've heard, like, a lot of the reviews, even the ones that, like, I saw, I think it was GameSpot gave it a 6.
I know Escapist gave it a 6. There was some controversy there.
But it was weird, because, like, I watched the whole GameSpot review, and I was like, it was like a long review. It was like 13 minutes long. And I was like, yeah, he's making some good points. Like one of the things he said was, like, it's basically, like, not much has changed since 2013. It's starting to feel a little stale now.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, like, he said it was totally a good game, and, you know, the puzzles are really good in it and shit, so I'm like, it seems like a little harsh of a score to throw onto it, but, like, I wasn't mad about it. I thought he made a really good review.
Or maybe it's the right score to throw on it, but
yeah, but it's like, that's fine.
Score are so fucked that, like, he actually applied the score right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad about the score. I thought, like, I was actually watching that review, and I was like, I thought the review was actually really good, and it kind of got my expectations in check, because, like, I think IGN has a tendency towards hyperbole, and like their review was like telling me everything I wanted to hear. Like, there's bigger tombs, there's more tombs, there's horror elements, there's like way more exploring, and there's not as much fighting. I'm like, did you guys like hear me talking about this at some point? Like, what the fuck? But yeah, I know it's just like sometimes IGN just kind of like overblows shit, and then you play, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Which is funny, because they actually had one of the lowest Spider-Man reviews.
Did they really?
I mean, and by that I mean it was an 8.7, but like, you look at literally everyone else and it's like high nines and stuff like that.
There's obviously different reviewers doing everything, but it's just like, I just feel like IGN speaks in like superlatives a lot. Like, this is one of the best games of this generation. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, sure, yeah.
But like, yeah, like everything she said in her review of Tomb Raider, I was like, damn, dude, that's like exactly what I wanted. And then this other guy was just like, dude, this is pretty much the same shit you've been playing for fucking three games now, but it's still really good.
And I guess it's made by Crystal, by like Eidos Montreal, so it's like E Team, and it feels like that sometimes in animation quality and stuff. I've seen some.
It's also a new engine, from what I heard.
Okay, because like I have seen some videos on Twitter, and it is hilarious. Like, we're almost at like Mass Effect Andromeda levels of like.
Did you guys see that
voice acting and stuff like that?
You could like make her smile in photo mode, or like adjust her facial expressions in photo mode.
Totally creepy.
Like, I might have some fun with that. Oh, by the way,
Spider-Man is so good.
Spider-Man photo mode.
It's pretty good.
Do you guys fuck with it? I love it.
Oh yeah, I posted a few things on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. So, quick question there, because I've only used photo mode and then taken like a share screen.
Yeah.
Is there a way to save it in the game without
doing
that?
I don't
think
so.
In the game itself? No.
Yeah. It's like, because, you know, you have the selfie stuff. And
Chris, me and you are in the same boat here. So I was like freaking out about that.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how do I save it?
Can't be,
what do I do?
I'm like, and I'm like, that can't be the only way. Like, it has to be the in game option. But
nope. No, it literally just saves it to your whatever. On the system level.
Okay, which is fine. Like, it didn't really point that out to me. And then, like, then I unlocked the camera in the game, and I was confused. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I just feel like, just from growing up on older, these, like, old open world games and shit like that, like, I feel like there should be the in-game, like, camera roll too. Like, I don't know, like...
Right.
But whatever.
It's fine. And I think that, like, I like all the options that they've added to the photo mode. Like, so you can even, like, you can take Spider-Man out of it and just take a, like, cool cityscape shot. Or,
oh, I didn't know that. It's cool.
Yeah, you can remove him.
There's so many options, man. Like, I would say not as many as, like, in Horizon's photo mode, but a decent amount.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty robust. It might not be the most robust, but it does what I need for it. And then, like, I like the option. I don't know how many selfies I'm going to take, but...
Yeah, the best thing to do is, like, when I'm playing as, like, Mary Jane or something, and I'm taking, like, a selfie as I'm breaking into somebody's, like...
Watch me commit a crime!
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it seems like we are all enjoying it. And we'll have more to talk about it as we progress. As Peter has already finished it, so
I haven't gotten it yet, but like it's one of those where it seems feasible. Where it's like, okay, you don't need to get 3 stars on every single challenge, you just need to get 3 stars on one of each category.
Is that how is that that's for the platinum or
mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you have to beat the game on like the hardest difficulty for the platinum too? Or
I don't think so. I'll check real quick, but I don't believe so.
That this might actually end up being the first platinum then that I've never gotten a platinum on PlayStation.
Me neither.
I'm not playing like the game on like the hardest difficulty or whatever.
No. I will check in a second. I have to actually update my system.
So I guess that's it for new stuff unless you guys have played.
I played Donut County.
Okay, tell us about that real quick.
I mean, I paid $10 to play a game for 90 minutes, and it was worth it. So, you know, it's very funny. Like, it's basically made by one guy.
Okay.
And it's just, it's really silly. There's very little challenge to it. It's mostly just like, hey, enjoy the humor and sort of the ridiculousness of this scenario and stuff.
So what is the premise of it? I mean, I know it's only 9 minutes.
Donut County is the name of the place that you live in. And you play primarily as this raccoon. It's a town with like humans and anthropomorphic animals, basically.
Okay.
And you play as this raccoon who's playing this game on his phone, where he just basically like brings this hole around town and just like eats other people's shit with it. Like, he just, like, steals, like, their car or their house and eventually, like, winds up taking down their entire neighborhood. But every item you suck in is, like, makes the hole a little bit bigger. So it's about more or less just finding how to do things in the proper order.
Okay, so it's like, all right, so here is a dime, and you suck that up, and then you can suck up a quarter, and then like a phone, and
yeah,
got it.
And then and stuff, and it's pretty funny. Then like there's something called the Trashopedia, which is like basically him writing up descriptions of all the items that he brings in, but they're obviously like they're. Let's see if I can look at an example.
This on PC or
it's on everything.
Everything.
Nice. It's even on phones. Stuff. So like under the lap under the description of laptop, it just says pour a glass of water on this screen. And that's how like how this raccoon describes what a laptop is. There are other things where he talks about like. He's really suspicious of corn as a vegetable and like other things like that. It's very like I don't know, sort of Wes Anderson in a way, like in its
okay
ridiculousness. I would recommend it. I would probably recommend playing it on phones because it's much cheaper on phones. And stuff. And
the controls, also, yeah. I mean, Metacritic wise, it also has the best score on phones.
Yeah, I mean. I think because that's a price thing, almost certainly. Because I paid about $10 for it on Steam.
Nice.
And stuff. So.
Okay. Jeff, you play anything else?
A whole hell of a lot of The Messenger.
Yeah? Did you finish it yet? Or
I have not finished it. I'm assuming you probably talked about it last week.
Yeah, a little bit with Tony, yeah.
Have you finished that game?
I have not. I haven't played anything in the last 3 days. So,
okay.
But I, where was I at? I am in the Metroid type.
Yeah. Area. Yeah. Me too. So it's like, it's weird. Cause it's like, honestly, dude, the first half of that game is my favorite game of the year. Like, easy. Like, it's just a perfect 2D action platformer. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, it is basically a modern Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
But that is way more forgiving because the checkpoints are good.
Hard, yeah.
It is as hard. It's just that it is forgiving that, like, when you die, it only takes you back a little bit instead of to the beginning of the
level. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that first half of the game, if you released that first half of the game for like $20, I would have told you it was one of the best games I've played this year.
And it has such a great ending.
Yeah,
it's great. That it's works. Perfect. Yeah, and then it kicks up again and makes you continue playing. But
The second half is like, I think it's not a very good imitation of what like a Metroid type game is. Like, it's weird. It's like there's a central hub area and there's these little portals that will take you out to different parts of the map that you basically just do that area and you'll find a key somewhere and you bring it back to that like hub area.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm doing now. I think I have two keys left to get and, like, it's still good, like, because the gameplay, like, itself is fundamentally good, but, like...
Yeah, that doesn't change at all, really, so...
Yeah, it's just, like, and some of, like, the Metroid design is okay, but it's just, like, it doesn't feel like they nailed that half of it, really. It's really weird, because it's, like, I love the first half of that game.
There are things about it, too, that, like, about the Metroid part that I'm not super fan of, but I do love the Switch. Like there are these areas where like there's basically like a time shimmer
between 16 and 8-bit.
Yeah, and like and switching them like brings you back, like so it can change the geography of the level by doing that. But I just love that effect of like jumping from like 8-bit to 16-bit or back.
I mean, I don't know if you've done this, and if it's a spoiler to you, I apologize. But, like, there's, like, one thing you have to do to, like, get one of the keys. Like, you have to plant a seed in the past. and then it'll grow into a plant in the future, and you harvest that plant. Yeah, you haven't done that yet?
No, that's fine, though.
You'll still have to figure it out, but like, they don't tell you at all where to fucking do that. It's like a specific screen where you have to do that, so good luck. It's like
fucking Castlevania 2.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it really is. Like, yeah, and then when you find that screen, you'll be like, it's not like Castlevania 2 in that, like, you can't figure it out. Like, it's like if you talk to someone, they'll tell you to use it there. But, like, it's still pretty much, like, scour the map and then figure this out. But, it's like, that's like a cool example of how they use that in, like, kind of a big puzzle way, you know?
I really enjoyed, like, when it was level, like, level-based.
Just run through the level, kill all the shit.
Fight the boss. Like, you get up to the end, there's a boss. And not to say that I'm not enjoying the rest of it, but it does take a little bit of a hit there. But I think it's still my favorite game that I played this year. So
yeah, I think it takes a hit there. And it's not just because I prefer one over the other. Like, I love Metroid-type games. I think that this game doesn't do the latter half as well. But I'm still with you. Maybe it is my favorite. I don't know. It's really, really high up there. I really love The Messenger. I've played a ton of it. I will probably beat it. I don't know where and when with all these games coming out, but it'll probably happen.
Yeah. Anybody else play anything?
No, that's it.
I guess real quick, I played the Fortnite The Getaway mode. It's a new limited time mode that they put in. It's basically like multi-team capture the flag. So you drop down 100 people. Right now, I believe it's duos. It started out as squads, but they modified it. Now it is duos. So you drop down with another player, and four supply drops drop from the sky, and each of them is a safe, which takes longer to open than a normal supply drop. And in there is a diamond pinata that you pick up, and it takes up one of your inventory slots. So you have to carry it like a weapon. And your goal then is to take that jewel and get to one of the getaway vans that are hovering in four other locations. And I guess the thing is that when you have the jewel, you are visible to everybody on the map. So like basically you pick up the flag and you have a target on you. It's kind of fun. It's really weird.
That's incredibly strange. I'm not sure I understand from your description.
So, I mean, have you ever played like multi-flag, multi-team capture flag? Like, I think they've had it in Halo before, where like each like you play on teams of more than, it's like they split it up in like four teams, and then each team has a flag. Well, in this, it would be like 25 teams, but there's four flags that you have to capture, and that's it. Like, there's only the four flags, so only four teams can get out and win. Everybody else dies. And actually, the two times that I've won with strangers, we actually had two jewels. So I wonder if that's why we won. Because most other teams only escape with one. It's weird. It's strange, but it's a fun, different, like it's gives an objective to the game instead of just run around and kill everybody. So you do have people that are, instead of hunting and going and getting the jewels from the drops, they are like camping out at the getaway vans. So you have to be prepared when you get up there, if you're going to get attacked. I have actually flipped down on top of the safes multiple times because they drop at the same time you drop. And if you are close enough to one and you put your parachute out right away, you can get above it and float down on top of the safe. It's fun. I think it'll probably be more fun with each time I played with randoms. So I think it would be more fun playing with other people that I know, but I don't like that they moved it from squads to duos. I think having a squad of people hunting the jewel would be more fun.
Oh, you can't do it's one. It's net. It's just
yeah. It's just.
Duos. I thought you
just they duos. Options. So they started it out as just squads, and I don't know if it was teams were figuring out really quickly how to master the game, and it could have been hey, teams are just splitting up two people go and get the jewel, and then two people are going and camping out at a getaway car, and in between the two meet. So games were just ending too quick, but they quickly changed it from squads to duos, and that's what it's been for the last 5 days or so. But I like that Fortnite keeps trying different things and adding in different limited time modes, and they had that Thanos one.
Yeah,
right.
Which a lot of people seem to really enjoy. So,
yeah, I mean, it was basically it was just a modified version of Juggernaut or something from Halo, where one guy is really super powerful,
right,
and could shoot death lasers, but. It's I like that they're trying different things, and it's not just going to always be go kill everybody. That's fun, but having an objective every once in a while is nice. Anyway, let's touch on the one other big piece of gaming news. The Nintendo Direct just happened.
Yeah, I got the whole list right here.
All
right,
run us down.
Yeah. All
right, a new Luigi's Mansion game is being developed for the Switch called Luigi's Mansion 3. The question is Luigi a ghost who doesn't know it, or has he been, or is this taking place after he has been killed and resurrected in the new Smash Brothers game?
Hmm.
Are we going to get a Sixth Sense ending where he's just a ghost, cannibalizing his own kind?
He doesn't know he's a ghost. That'd be great.
I think that was one of the few newsworthy ones, though, where they're it's a brand new game in a series on the Switch, and
I'll give Nintendo credit for not giving up on a franchise, though.
Yeah.
That first game didn't set the world on fire, then they put that second one out on 3DS, and everyone was why?
Yeah. Right, why wasn't this released on Wii U? Well, we know why it wasn't released on Wii U, because nobody owns a fucking Wii U.
But I'll probably get it, I'm not a huge fan of that series, but I'd still probably get it. And, it was that was just one of the bigger, there's a few things that stuck out to me. That was one of the
right. Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn is coming to 3DS.
Oh, God.
Extra. I guess it's basically not, it's not a sequel. It sounds like it's a more, extended edition.
Epic Yarn.
Bowser's Inside Story is also coming to 3DS, but we knew that already, right?
Yeah.
It was coming with Bowser Jr.'s Journey.
Yep.
Okay, I thought so. New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe is coming to Switch.
Nice.
That would be on price, though.
It will also say new Super Luigi U.
What were you asking, Jeff?
I said that one depends on price for me, though. I would probably get it because I never played Super Luigi U, but I would probably get that if it was 40 or less. I don't think I'd pay 60 for it.
I would. You know what? Give me all of my fucking Wii U games on the Switch so I can retire that fucking thing.
Just fucking trash it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Katamari Damacy is getting remastered for the Switch.
Yes, baby. I love that.
Switch Port will use the Switch Gyro controls and support multiplayer.
All right. So, I've never played a Katamari game.
Me neither.
What?
Should I play this?
Yes. This is the best one, too. The first one is the best one. Because it's just they expressed the idea perfectly in that first one, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And any sequel they've done has just been not inspired, the songs aren't as good, the first one, in my opinion, I think some people might disagree with me, it's perfect, it doesn't really even need a sequel, so just getting this one on the Switch, I'm totally buying it. Like, I'm all over this. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Let's see. Nintendo shared more about their online service. It's out on September 18th. We'll support online play, classic NES games with online support, and cloud saves for most games. It'll cost $4 a month, $8 for 3 months, or $20 for 12 months. The games that do not have cloud saves are games like Splatoon 2, Dark Souls Remastered, FIFA 19. That's it so far. The Switch is getting hideous-looking NES-style controllers.
But they're, I mean, really, that's only for charging. Like, I mean, they look like NES controllers. They can't be used for anything except for the NES games on the Switch. So
They are basically NES controllers, aren't they? Like, they're probably the right size, you know?
Just as it controls, connect with the Switch and will work with all classic NES games. You can also charge them by attaching them to the Joy-Con. Will make your Switch look like, they will cost $60 and will only be available to people with paid Nintendo Online accounts.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
So they're actually $80.
That makes
zero
sense to me. So you need to buy... I mean, I guess there's no reason to use them otherwise, but that's weird.
But like, what if you had like an 8-bit type game downloaded on your system? Why can't you just use that?
It probably won't.
They only work on the classic.
That's what I'm saying. So like, that's what it's going to be. So I guess it makes sense that that's all I work on.
Yeah,
but I will not be getting those.
So I can't just walk into a store and buy these.
No, they will not be available at the store.
And I think that eliminates them for me. I would have gotten them mostly because the Pro Controller and even the Joy-Cons kind of like thwart my wife. She is not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But she understands like the original D-pad and the A and B button. So to play like some of those like old Nintendo games on the Switch with her, like that would have worked, but this whole setup seems really stupid now.
Did anyone notice when they were scrolling through like the NES games, if some of them were not like stuff that's already on the NES Classic? Like, is there like some stuff that's going to be, I don't know, not on it? Like some deeper cuts?
So let's see. Hold on.
I know they were like in the video, they were scrolling through like demo screens of it.
All right, so... you got Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong, Dr. Mario, Ice Climber, Legend of Zelda, Mario Brothers Soccer, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, and Tennis. Ghosts and Goblins, Excitebike, Tecmo Bowl, Yoshi, Double Dragon, Gradius, Ice Hockey, River City Ransom, Pro Wrestling, and Baseball. Those are the first 20 games. Solomon's Key, NES Open Tournament Golf, and Super Dodgeball arrive in October. Mm-hmm. Metroid, Mighty Bomb Jack, and Twinbee launch in November. And Warrior's Woods, Ninja Gaiden, and Adventures of Lolo are available in December.
So
it's fucking weak.
Of the 20 announced, 12 of them are also available in the NES Classic Edition. Nintendo says that the Switch Online versions of the games will feature online multiplayer, including cooperative and competitive play. So yeah. All right, we talked about controllers. Game Freak is making a new RPG for Switch that is not Pokemon, but it's just some
Pokemon. Yeah.
Things. Basically Pokemon.
It looks like you get...
I don't know. I didn't see the footage of it, but
like the art style. Like
it was like some sort of like monster hunting RPG, I thought.
City Skylines is coming to Switch now.
Yeah.
The Switch version includes both released expansions. I don't know if that game can hold up to them.
I was wondering if that game would run. That game barely runs on Xbox.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's weird.
Civilization VI also coming to Switch, but we knew that one because they kind of just went forward with their PR plan despite the fact that they delayed the...
I did not know it. I did not know. I'm probably going to get it. And I'm excited. That was like one of the highlights for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I actually think Switch is like a really good platform.
Local multiplayer or whatever?
Yeah, like, four-player local multiplayer. Like, it's out on November 6th.
I can force my girlfriend. Like, I don't even actually know. I only know how to play Civ Rev. So, like, I don't know. I don't know how to play those games. But we'll learn it together, and we'll kill each other. It'll be amazing. Is that what you do? Do you, like, fight each other in that game?
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
You can also not fight each other and just build up very intellectual.
I guarantee like an
intellectual civilization and win that way.
I guarantee you that's like a game I could get her into. I think.
Yeah, I mean, so it's turn-based it and cool stuff, and Civ is a game that is only as complicated as you want it to be.
Yeah, it sounds like pretty flexible from what you guys are saying. Like, oh, yeah. Should I kill each other or just live in harmony?
You should just kill each other.
I mean, cool. I agree.
World of Final Fantasy is coming to Switch. It's called World of Final Fantasy : Maxima. It's out on November 6th. A bunch of Final Fantasy games, which we talked about right before the podcast, are coming. So Final Fantasy 7, 9, 10, and 10-2 are all coming to Switch, and so is Final Fantasy 12 Zodiac Age.
They are also all 7, 9, 10, 10-2, and 12 are also all coming to Xbox One, along with Final Fantasy Maxima and 15
Pocket Edition. Is there a weird licensing issue with Final Fantasy 8?
I don't know. I mean, at that time, Sony wasn't Sony, was it? No,
because Sony published all the ones on those, right?
Because
they were Squaresoft back then.
Yes. I thought EA had a part of them at some point, but I don't know why that would lock it.
Just looking at Wikipedia, and it's just says developer Square, publisher Square.
Yeah, but 8 is on everything else. Like it
right,
is.
It's even on.
It's on PC.
It's on PC. It's on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, it's on 3. It's on like Vita. Yeah. I don't know. 8's not good, but. No, it's really weird. I don't like 8, but that's a really weird thing.
It's just. Well, yeah, I mean, like, I love 8, but. Even still, like, I'm just like, why?
Yeah,
I wonder if there's just like a weird licensing issue in terms of like maybe with music or something, because they had some vocal tracks and stuff.
That maybe that's it. Maybe they have to secure that to move it off of. But I would think they would have already handled that when they moved it to like PC.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it on iOS? I know 9 is.
I don't believe so. But the iOS ones don't match up with the PC ports either. The iOS ones are, like, random. It's like Final Fantasy 4, 6, and 9 or something like that.
Weird.
Yeah. Animal Crossing's Isabelle is coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And then they ended their thing with saying that Animal Crossing is coming in 2019. There are a couple other things here. Let's see. Luigi's Mansion the original Luigi's Mansion is coming to 3DS with new two-player co-op. Yo-Kai Watchers Blasters has new content. Splatoon 2 is getting another set of maps and modes. Mario Tennis Aces is getting another update on September 19th with Birdo, Shy Guy, Koopa, Paratrooper, and Petey Piranha's playable characters. That's the day literally right after the game goes online, too. That's funny. The Capcom Beat 'em Up Bundle will also introduce a bunch of classic Capcom games for up to 4 players. The Switch is getting some tabletop games like Carcassonne, The Lord of the Rings, The Living Card, Pandemic, Munchkin, and Catan. Munchkin.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
To see how that works.
I do wish Ticket to Ride was on there. But.
Yeah, this fall, Switch port
try Pandemic.
Of the World Ends with You will include some new areas and enemies. Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon, everybody is coming to Switch this winter, and Warframe hits Switch on the 20th. So, yeah, and I guess in Japan they announced that Odyssey will be a streaming game for those in Japan. Not Mario Odyssey, but Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I don't know if this was mentioned in any of the news, but is those old numbered Final Fantasies, are they coming physically too, or just digitally?
I believe just digitally. I think everything is just digital. I'll look again. Hold on.
Because I would
you never know with Switch, man.
I would something. Totally buy 7, 9, 10, 10-2, and 12 if they had physical releases.
Yeah, I mean, I Switch. Seriously doubt it. All it says is that they're just coming to the Switch next year.
So I know 10 and 10-2 and 12 got physical releases on the PS4.
Yes. But I think that's because those were like new versions. These are just
ports. I would love to have like physical versions for the Switch, but.
I don't know. It seems like they know that, though, like Nintendo fans, like so many games come out physical, even more, I think, than the other systems on the Switch. Like,
yeah, cause I'm actually a little annoyed, Jeff, because the Messenger is coming out physically for Switch.
You might have to.
I'm more likely to double dip if it were to come out on like Xbox One or PS4. But I will double dip on all those numbered Final Fantasies on the Xbox and probably on the Switch, but definitely on the Xbox to play for achievements.
Good luck. I think those achievements are fucked.
Just make sure there are achievements. You never know.
My guess is they are the same as what they would be on PC, and the PC versions of all those games have achievements. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. But they're kind of nightmarish.
Yeah, they're like outlandish to do, but World of Final Fantasy coming to Xbox One as well. That's interesting.
I mean, that makes sense.
I guess if you're going to release like shit on everything else, might as well, right?
Yeah.
That could be interesting. I own that game on Vita and have never played it.
I heard it was okay.
Yeah, I did too. Just have never played it yet. I got it cheap and never played it. Did you state that there was a Mario Tennis update?
Yeah, with a bunch of new characters, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that game, but I do play it once a month to get the the new characters.
I mean, yeah, my siblings play it, so they'll probably enjoy that there are some new characters.
Yeah, I mean, I like playing with other people, so getting the characters is fun. All right, well, that's Jeff, what do you think about Animal Crossing?
I think it was a weird reveal, but I'm very happy that...
they knew what they were doing. They were trolling people.
Yeah,
about Animal Crossing, and, sorry, it's for Smash Brothers. But
yeah, right, hold on. Like, exactly.
I got you guys, don't worry.
They got me the whole way, so, yeah. Also, totally... minor side note, like Super Mario Party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did they say that game has online or no? Do you guys know?
I am unaware at the moment.
Anyways, I'm still planning on getting that probably. I feel like I might regret it.
Yes.
But don't do it. It's been a while. I think the last one I bought was 8 on like the Wii, like the original Wii. So I feel like I'm due.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get it just because I still have siblings I can play with here, so.
Yeah, like, I could force Melissa to play this.
I mean, I actually think if it does have online, then that would be cool. Like,
that's what I was just thinking, like, I would totally, like, if it has online, it's like, you guys are buying it, so we can play that shit, because that would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I would play a Mario Party online with you guys.
Oh my god, I would make the effort to be like, guys, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock or whatever the fuck.
Oh wow, Jeff would make an effort.
Yeah, for exactly.
Super Mario Party? Fuck yeah.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Mario Party.
Absolutely.
Come and play games with us. Are any of you guys going to try out a Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition?
No. God, no. I played the actual game.
I played the free first chapter of it on PC. It's cute. Yeah, it is cute though. But anyway, that was a lot. We talked a lot tonight.
Damage.
Sorry, Tony. We made you talk too much.
I hate talking. Why am I on a podcast?
Not sure.
Doesn't make any sense.
I'm not sure if we will have Tomb Raider or not next week, because Jeff and
I think we'll get there.
Jeff will not be able to help himself.
No, I think I'll beat Spider-Man. I think I'm not that far off. Right,
so Jeff may very well have Tomb Raider by then. I don't know if I will have finished Spider-Man, but I do want to hear about Tomb Raider. I may try out the Forza Horizon 4 demo thing that's out there. I was weirdly feeling a little sad that I wasn't going to get that at launch, and then I remembered I have Game Pass.
You're totally getting it.
Like, I don't have to worry about buying it because I've already bought it.
Nice.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have a little bit of talk on that, and I'm sure we'll have some other things strewn in there as well. All right, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.